Hey folks, Jeanette Milagros here. We are in the crone season. The nights are long and the days are short. It's cold if you're living up in the north, and we're not getting that much sunlight. Some of us are popping those vitamin D pills, hoping that it's gonna sustain us during these cold winter nights. I recently just got over a really bad cold. Might have been the flu or COVID. I'm not even sure. It just felt bad. And I'm just coming out of it now, and I wanted to resume our conversations. And so one of the things I wanted to explore in this podcast, or I will be exploring in this podcast, is the idea of the imposter syndrome and how that's impacted me and my journey in PhD land. And also how the maiden and the crone have teamed up to kind of help me. And last but not least, if you stick around towards the end, I have some suggestions and some ideas that you can use during this time of the crone, during this season of reflection, this dark season of winter, where we go inward. So some suggestions for you guys to enjoy the crone season and be productive in the crone season. I hope you stick around towards the end and love to hear some feedback from you. Hey, hey, it's been a minute. And I wanted to explain a little bit about what's been going on. As many of you know, I am currently in a PhD program, and honestly, it's been kicking my ass. Yeah, it's a process. So I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to talk about our seasons. As you know, this is Wise Woman's Pride podcast, where we explore the many seasons of women. And we have kind of created the structure to look at ourselves as women. We've chosen four archetypes by which to view ourselves. And if y'all been listening, you know that we have the maiden, the warrior, we have the mother, and of course we have the crone. And that's not to say that there aren't other archetypes in us. It just means that these four are the ones that are universal in our experience. So you can have sub-archetypes. I've been hearing many discussions lately, interesting enough, about archetypes now, and which I think is interesting and great, actually. I think it's a reflection of the collective consciousness that we're tapping into. And so the idea of these four archetypes as an umbrella to look at ourselves allows us to understand the seasons of our lives as women. I mean, it could even be something that men can look at, but that's another topic for another day. And so these four archetypes show up in our lives at different times, depending on the need, the necessity. Sometimes they're part of our makeup, and sometimes we lack in an area of a specific archetype. So we've been exploring these ideas and how they show up in our lives as women. So what that means for me is that I've been working hard and trying to manage all of this, being in a PhD, as well as continuing this creative process and exploring these topics with you on this podcast is been where I'm living at right now. And it's been challenging. So I just wanted to first put that out there and own it and claim it. And I want to resume where we left off. I have to acknowledge that the season we're in right now, currently it's winter, and it's the time of the crone. It's the time of reflection, of going within, of looking at how we can serve for the greater good and the wisdom in that service. Although it's the crone season, there are many archetypes that are flowing through me right now And the most prominent one, I have to say right now, is the maiden. As I'm still learning and trying to be this curious being, allowing myself to be a learner, and being in the PhD program is new territory for me. You know, I am first generation high school graduate. So that means both my parents did not graduate high school. They almost did, but they were coming up in a time when it really wasn't necessary. Jobs were available and labor workers were able to earn a living and raise a family in that way. Both my parents worked in a factory. But I never felt like I missed anything or that I was in need of anything. And honestly, that's a testament to who they were and how they raised us. However, not having a model to refer to left me kind of having to figure out this education journey of mine. First undergrad, then my master's, and then ultimately now my PhD. And I gotta tell you, imposter syndrome has been in full effect in every stage of this journey of mine. I had no intentions of pursuing my PhD when I first started this. And I just wanted to live the life of a bohemian artist and explore and experience the world through the lens of art, be it theater, writing, directing. I had no intentions of getting into the profession of mental health. But there's a saying, man plans and God laughs, right? Or women plans and God laughs. So life has a way of putting you exactly where you're supposed to be. And so mental health was a natural progression for me. It's always been a passion of mine. Paired with the arts and creativity, it's been my life passion. And it also happens to be the topic of my dissertation. It's what my dissertation is going to be on: creativity, empathy, and cultural humility, and how are those things connected. So I say all that to say, on this PhD journey, I have experienced many times over imposter syndrome throughout this journey. Being a Latina, being first generation, to do any of these things that I've done so far, it's been ever present. I am constantly challenged with thoughts of, do I belong here? Will I be found out? Am I smart enough? And I have to say, it actually has been the maiden archetype in me that has been my saving grace. So let me break it down. By embracing the maiden, I also embraced the learner in me and disregarded all that self-doubt talk and all those false expectations that have been put on me as a woman of color. It's the maiden that has really given me the strength and the courage to continue this journey when I have my doubts and I am unsure if I can do these things. I really just like step into that role of being a learner and allowing myself to be comfortable with not knowing of the unknown. And so I had to mention that although we're in the crone season, I think it's important to mention that and the crone and the maiden, in my opinion, are different sides of the same coin. And by that I mean the maiden's desire to be a learner, to be this learner, and her curiosity, her ability to be open and embrace uncertainty is also present in the crone. The crone's desire to be open and embrace uncertainty, it's the same. Not only does the crone embrace uncertainty, the crone actually seeks uncertainty. And what do I mean by that? Ambiguity. The not knowing is where she feels most at home. And her wisdom comes from that knowledge. And so she seeks the unknown, where many of us run from the unknown and try to protect ourselves from the unknown because it feels uncomfortable. It's not familiar to us. She actually thrives in not knowing. She is comfortable in this state of being. And so I think that's how the maiden and the crone are very, very similar. I'm reminded of this quote by Rumi, and it goes like this. If you could get rid of yourself just once, the secret of secrets would open up to you. The face of the unknown hidden beyond the universe would appear in the mirror of your perception. Ah, that's like music to my ears. That's so beautiful. When we are able to surrender to the unknown, we stop being who we think we are supposed to be. And we come face to face with the reality of all that we are. We forget who we are because there's no noise, there's no static around us. And we're able to hear that inner voice. Ah, yes, that's the crone. She understands, embraces, and surrenders to the unknown. And in surrendering to the unknown, she comes back to herself. And the maiden also understands that in a more youthful, naive kind of way, I guess. But nevertheless, the outcome is the same. She opens up to this world, you know, new to her. She surrenders completely to the unknown. And she's comfortable in that space of just learning and just being, you know. And so that's where I am right now. I vacillate I go back and forth, maiden, crone. And it's something to think about as we go into these winter days, into these days of the crone, days of solitude, of reflection. This time of year, the holidays, can be really difficult for many people, and oftentimes because there's loss. This time of year, when people come together, for many, it can be a reminder of what we no longer have or what we never had, depending on what it is you're grieving. I know I have a good friend of mine who lost his son a few months ago, and the holidays, the gatherings, the coming together can be beautiful, yes, but it can also be difficult. But it can also be a gathering and a coming together of yourself, you know. It really depends on this season is what you want it to be. You know, it could be a season of discovering who you are all over again. You decide what you want and who you want to gather with. Perhaps you want to gather with people who aren't your family. Perhaps your self-made family. Maybe you want to gather with, you don't want to gather with anyone. Maybe you just want to gather with yourself. Maybe just being with alone during this time of solitude. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. The crone season is a great time to rediscover who you are, learn about who you are. So in this time of the crone season, of reflection and of going inward, don't resist it. Don't fight it. Allow yourself to be in solitude if that's what's being, if that's how you're being directed. Embrace this time to learn about yourself. Do something, do some reading, be a learner again. You know, last year for the crone season, we did a lot of journaling. I always recommend journaling. There's a lot that you discover about yourself when you journal. It's really a lot of internal work, and it can be life-changing. So take the time to explore your inner crone during this season, and you define how you want that experience to be. You're in the driver's seat. You decide what you want this winter season of the crone to be like so that it best serves you. I have some things to suggest, some things that you can do during the crone season to help you in this process. The first one, embrace the crone season. Embrace it. Enjoy this time of solitude and reflection and surrender to it completely. The second thing, allow yourself some time for self-care activity. What needs to be attended to? Does your body need to be attended to? Do your emotions? Does your heart? Does your mind? What needs your attention? So do some self-care activities that will attend to those needs. In order to do that, you have to do a self-inventory. Ask yourself, where are you feeling depleted and how can you feel it? Number three, journal. Do some journaling. And, you know, some people aren't writers. So when I say do some journaling, I've seen faces, you know, like, ugh, please, Jeanette, like, really? That's not my thing. You don't have to write. You can dictate. You can record. You can do an auto journal, which is fun. And I've done that, actually. It's a lot of fun because I go back to the recordings and it's just so interesting to hear yourself talk. It's just another perspective to give yourself. So you can, like, literally write if that's your thing. Type it. Do voice dictation. Word has a feature. Google has a feature. Google Docs. Record voice journaling. Photography journaling. You know, you don't even have to take any more pictures. How about if you just create a journal of your year? Like, be creative. There's so many ways that you can do this. So if you're an actual artist, a visual artist that likes to draw or to paint, or, you know, make a journal with visual images. Sky's the limit, folks. Like, there's no one way to do this. But in journaling, in that reflection, where you take the time to think about these things, there's a lot that unfolds, that you learn about yourself. So embrace the act of journaling in however way that works for you. Journaling is just another way of self-reflection, really. Number four, be of service to someone who needs you. Where could you make a difference? And you can always make a difference. Where could you show up in someone's life and make it a little better? Sometimes it's as simple as a smile. Being of service might be just as simple as an act of kindness every day to one person at work or a stranger. Like, it's innumerable. Like, the options are limitless in terms of being of service to someone else. Maybe you're being of service to plants, to animals, to family, to coworkers. But think about where you can make a difference in someone's life. And the act of service doesn't have to be so life-altering. Kiss. Keep it simple. Silly. I don't like stupid. I say silly. Keep it silly. Keep it simple, silly. Be of service to someone. Number five, connect and explore your spirituality or learn something new about spirituality. So if you don't have a spiritual practice and you're not even remotely interested in spirituality, that's okay. But learn about spirituality. What is it that draws people? What is faith? How is faith defined by people? How do some people define faith? Because even if you don't have that interest in spirituality, we're surrounded by many people who are spiritual. And often we have a lot of world conflicts based on spiritual beliefs, right? And so the more we are able to understand the human experience of spirituality, the more you're able to understand your fellow human being. So even if you're not necessarily interested in spirituality, understanding what are the mechanisms of spirituality? What drives a person to be spiritual? What is faith? These are questions you can ask. What questions could you ask about that? So just exploring that area. And if you are spiritual, connecting more to a spiritual practice. And I'm using the term spirituality very broadly, because spirituality means a lot of different things to different people. It may mean organized religion, going to a temple, a mosque, a church, right? Or it may be something a little bit more fluid and free-flowing. It really depends on the individual. But connecting and exploring your spirituality or the spirituality of others and trying to understand the human experience and the connection in that. Because that's very much the crone. She's deeply spiritual. Number six, embrace and accept all that is you. That should be number one. I put it in number six. I think it should be number one. But okay. Embrace and accept. Accept who you are, where you are right now in your life. You know, for me, like if you are in a place like you're 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight, who cares, who knows, whatever that number is for you, right? Embrace that who you are. Accept where you are right now. Before you can make changes, you have to first accept where you are. Where are you? And accept it without conditions, without judgment. And know that in accepting, you're saying to yourself, I am enough right now with who I am and where I am. I am enough. You are enough. And so radical acceptance of who you are is really important. And I think I should have been number one. And then last but not least, number seven, listen to this podcast. Come on, I had to put that in. Listen to this podcast for the, you know, the season of the crone. And tune in and listen to previous podcasts, especially those of the crone season. Because last season we had journal prompts, and we talked about different topics. So listen to this podcast, listen to episodes from the past. There's a lot of information and things that might be able to help you during this season of reflection. And that's it. Those are my seven things that you can do for this crone season. I'm so happy. I'm connecting with you again. I have gotten a lot of feedback and people asking me when I was going to start up. They were missing the podcast. They look forward to it. They listen to it on the way home. They listen to it on the way to work. and one of the things I'm dedicating to for the crone season is continuing to be of service. Doing this podcast is an act of service for me, and I want to keep myself accountable. So that's my service to you all. I hope that you were able to get some little crumbs from this conversation today. And I look forward to hearing your feedback. And I hope that these next couple of weeks, you are able to find some solace, some peace, and some joy. And for those of you that are grieving and have lost, I'm sending you love. Love. I'm sending you love. And reminding you that you are not alone in your grief. And if you need to reach out, you can always reach out to me. There's all kinds of, you know, hotline numbers. If you're feeling like you're in crisis, there's 988. But reach out to someone, connect with someone, talk with someone. It really helps. So that's it for today. I will be catching up with you guys very soon. In the meantime, while you're embracing this crone season, make sure you have some like nice cuddly socks to do it and some hot cocoa. The days are getting colder. If you're in the north, enjoy this time of reflection. And I hope that you're able to learn more of yourself and grow in your being. Have a good one.